Just a reminder, there is a sermon outline on the very last page of your worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. Some years back, as a part of a sermon I was preaching, I posed a question on Facebook and wanted to get responses from people, just kind of curious how they'd respond to this question. The question went simply like this: if you could have any superpower, what would that superpower be and why? And so as you can imagine, some very interesting responses came back. One person said, "I just spent 20 minutes walking around my house in my wetsuit, prepping for my triathlon next weekend. So I'm going with the power to look good in spandex, because I think that is a superpower we can all appreciate." Someone else said, "I used to think about this a lot and say to fly or be invisible. But now that I'm getting older and more practical, boring, I decided that I'd like to be able to multiply myself so I can get everything done faster. Just what you want, 10 more of me, right?" And then many people replied something to the effect of they wanted to be able to heal others. And something, they'd say something like, "I choose a superpower to heal all physical ailments," which speaks volumes to the people that are speaking that through social media. And one person said, who had recently lost their wife to cancer, leaving two children behind, and said, "I want the power Jesus used on Lazarus to bring him back to us." Powerful, isn't it? We smile at some of these as we think about flying through a house with spandex, but the reality is most people in this world want some kind of a superpower. I mean, look at how much money is made on hero movies, right? Every summer, it seems like there's one or two or three. There's several coming out this summer. And because I think we resonate with these stories because we are desperate to fix something in us that we can't fix ourselves. But the truth is, we may never get that superpower, right? But we are rescued through Jesus, through His Word, which is our life. And that's the basis of this series called Hero. As we're looking at how Scripture taps us, how God taps ordinary people at particular times for the sake of the gospel, a hero in the making, and how we, all of us, are heroes in the making as well. Whether we realize it or not, God is at work in us for the sake of the gospel to do extraordinary things. And that leads us to our superhero today, Iron Man. And that, meet David, the original Iron Man in Scripture. And so in Scripture, you will see much in common between David and Iron Man, as you're going to see in today's sermon. Israel and the Philistines had met head-on, head-to-head, and they're told to send one man out, familiar story, right, to fight that giant who is 9 feet tall. No one wanted to go out. They were afraid. And so here's David, this shepherd boy. And what does the king do when he agrees to let David represent them? He clothes him in his armor, but the armor is too big and heavy for him. And he sets it aside. David knows the victory of the battle is with the one who trusts God. And so David, with 5 stones and a staff, gets to work. This is David at his best, relying entirely on God, looking to God for everything. What made him Iron Man wasn't what he wore, but his faith in God. And as we know David's story, as he lives and as he becomes king, he drifts some from that reliance. And that leads us to the villain of the text, salvation by success. And so Tony Stark, he has it all, who becomes Iron Man, right? He had money, he had fame, he had status, he had power, a brilliant inventor with a bright future. He's in his 20s, and he had inherited his father's business. He lived the life. One day, everything changed as his heart was broken, literally. A test went wrong with some military weapons, and he was the only one to survive. And he creates a machine, as we call Iron Man today, to keep him alive. A writer of the Iron Man movie, Jerry Conway, made this observation. He said about Iron Man, "Here you have this character who on the outside is invulnerable, just can't be touched, but inside is a wounded figure. Stan Lee made it very much an in-your-face wound. His heart was broken, you know, literally broken. I would describe Iron Man as kind of like a walking wounded kind of person, a broken man on the inside, but he held up the shield on the outside. But when the power core is installed, Iron Man is given the ability to live again. David had it all. He had the money, he had the power, the fame, as he was king as well. And you hear him ponder how success had brought him peace. And so he cries out for a new heart, as he says in verse 1 in our text. Let's read it together. I pray to you, O Lord, my rock, do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. Hear me, O Lord. Many today are walking around, you know, like a walking wounded person on the outside, looking great, untouchable, but inside their hearts are broken. We all know people whose hearts are far from God. Maybe within our own families, maybe some of us have been drifting for some time. And as we look at David and especially Tony Stark, he is their own worst enemy. As he implodes from within, David, he has it all. But a wandering eye on a rooftop one night changed everything, doesn't it, for David? Every one of us sins, and yet David, he falls in that moment. For David, it is an issue of the heart. And so how do you deal with a broken heart, a desperate heart? The games we play are big. We just think, if I'm just stronger, if I'm just faster, if I'm just better, if I just pray this way, if I just do that, if I just give enough, if I just worship enough, then God will love me. And yet, as we look at Iron Man, he first appeared in 1963 in a comic called Tales of Suspense, comic number 39. As you can see here, he lives, he walks, he conquers. It's very simple and plain, right? I mean, just look at him. That's Iron Man. He had kind of some jet boots and some suction cups and a finger saw. A lot has changed, hasn't it? His original armor doesn't really do much other than just walk. But he quickly evolves. 10 issues later, a new Iron Man hit the scene. As you can see in this comic here, the suit has certainly gone through many versions through the years. Iron Man has become bigger and stronger and faster. And it gets to the point where Stark has no life apart from that machine. But at what cost? It cost Tony Stark a high price. For David, when he put his trust in iron, in his role as king, in his role as ruler, in his role as carrying the sword, this iron turns to rust. The longer he lives without God and drifts from his center in God, slowly his heart rusts. In the last years of David's life, his wives plot behind his back as things start to unravel. Each wife tries to get his son, or the son, on the throne. Some of David's last words are revenge on the enemy. He coaches his son Solomon who to kill as soon as he is on the throne. And within a generation of David's death, the kingdom he had built with an iron hand and fist is divided in civil war, never to be reunited again. And in a moment of reflection, listen to David and think about how the pursuit of success, the pursuit of the things that I do with my hands, the pursuit of success failed to bring David happiness. It's almost like a confession as you hear David cry these words from Psalm 51. Now let's read these couple verses together. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Give me a new heart, the money, the wealth, the power, the role as king just wasn't cutting it anymore. Those facades dropped as David realized the older that he became. The important things of life are not of the things of this world, but are following God and leaning on Him. The longer we continue to live in our own heart instead of God's heart, it rusts us out from the inside out, slowly leaving us empty. We've all been there. That's what sin does. It rusts us out from the inside. The result is a man of metal with a rusted life. On the outside, we've got it all together, but on the inside, we are crying out. We're lonely. We're desperate for people to see us, to know us, as we face this rusted heart that we see and we know that we feel every day of our lives. And David finally gets to a point where he cries out to God for help. He's tired of that rusted heart that he has within, as he says in verse 7. Let's read it together. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to Him. The Lord is David's strength. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, put on the armor of God. This is a life-changing moment for the church in Ephesus and for us to put on the belt of truth, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to put on the shield of faith. These are the things that sustain us, not the things of this world. Reminds me of a story that Zig Ziglar tells about a time that he had with his son, a young son, playing golf. And the young son was new to the game, and the father was impressed by the son's play on a par 4 hole. And so they're at the tee box, and the boy hits the ball straight down the fairway. And the second shot on the green within 14 feet of the cup. And so the father, he encouraged the son, way to go. As the son steps up to the ball, he puts the ball into the cup perfectly. He had his first birdie, and he was excited. And that was the dad's turn. He also made his ball to the green in 2. But his putt was much easier than his son's. Does he try to mess up the shot so his son would be the hero? What do you think he did? No. Because if he had, he would have been going against everything that he had taught his son about doing his best. And so he sank his putt easily and also birdied the hole. And they're walking to the next tee, and the dad casually asks his son, well, son, were you rooting for me on that last shot? The son said, Dad, I will always root for you. When all seems lost, remember that your dad in heaven is on the green with you. He is encouraging you. He's in the room cheering you on to victory, to win the prize that has been set before you in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. Some of us, maybe here today, didn't have a father who rooted for you. And so today on Father's Day, it can be a hard day for some. Some of you had dads whose hearts were rusted out by their own battles that they faced. And yet, Father's Day is a reminder that you have a Heavenly Father and who is rooting for you, who is competing with you. He isn't disappointed in your swing. He's actively cheering you on to win the prize, eternal life with Him. So that leads to the outcome. When all seems lost, God brings healing. And so today is Father's Day. It's a day, in my mind, as I look at Father's Day, it's more than just about our earthly fathers. It's about the vocation of fatherhood. And I'm sure we've all had people who we looked at as a father, who figure, who poured into us and shaped us into who we are today. It's a reminder about the importance of dad, but also the importance of mom in our life too, and the critical role that we all play in our children's lives and grandchildren's lives. And for many, these father figures can be a turning point, a legacy that we pour into them. as Proverbs 27 reminds us, as iron sharpens iron, we're sharpening our children. And men sharpening men, women sharpening women. And there's something special about mentoring that happens between men and between women. Men calling men up, how to tie a tie, how to do barbecue, right? How to shave, how to do those kinds of things, how to treat a woman. Are you mentoring someone? Or also on the flip side to that, are you being mentored by someone? And it's time for us to stop living that rusted out life where we may look good on the outside, but inside we're struggling. That's how David felt. And where did David turn? He said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." He turned to his God, who he leaned on in those tough moments. And God has given us a new set of armor to wear, a set of armor that will never rust, will never feel shame. There's no sorrow. It is just life, life to the full. And that armor, it is all Jesus. Blessed Savior, heroes, it is time to suit up and let's go. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for Jesus, who is our hero. On this Father's Day, we think of the Heavenly Father, who sent his one and only Son to save us, to rescue us in our broken places. But maybe some of us here today are facing a rusted heart. We may look good on the outside, but inside we're struggling. And in that struggle, Father, remind us of David, who in those moments of struggle turned to his Heavenly Father and cried out to him as he did in Psalm 51, "Create in us new hearts. Create in us a new heart that rests solely and completely on you and you alone, Father." Thank you, Father, for giving us that new heart in Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.